you're really starting to see even bigger problems come out of that locker room because you've got unnamed players telling the media that the coach is no good. And that, on so many levels, usually leads to bad things for that coach. Now, I don't see a lot of owners that would look and say, all right, these are just two rogue players that are doing things that they shouldn't be doing. Let's sniff them out and get them because we believe in the coach. I think after what they saw, John Mara, the owner of the Giants, what he saw on Sunday against the Rams, followed up by this, he's not going to give Ben McAdoo the benefit of the doubt. So if you didn't see the quotes, it's from Josina Anderson, who spoke to two unnamed players.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would hope that these guys have a little bit of cachet. Like, I hope that there's not just dudes that are running down on kickoffs and not hitting anybody. You know, I would hope that these guys, she would at least develop relationships in a locker room with guys who would know the real pulse of it, not just, you know, nobodies. And also, nobodies generally don't talk, right? I mean, they
shouldn't.
Right, because they're like, like, that's what I think. When I see unnamed player quotes, I think it's someone who's secure in their job.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a guy who's fighting every single day to keep the job.
All right. Not to say that if you're not a starter, you can't have a sense of what's going on in that locker room. You do, but you should stay in your place.
So this is one of the quotes from an unnamed player. McAdoo has lost this team. He's got us going 80% on Saturdays before we get on a plane to play a game. It's wild. Changed our off day. He's dishing out fines like crazy, suspended two of our stars when we need them the most, throws us under the bus all the time. He's ran us into the ground, and people wonder why we've been getting got. The second player said, on a condition of anonymity, guys are giving up on the season and nothing's being done. Guys just don't care anymore.
Hmm. Well, I saw her report, and you had those quotes, and then she also said she talked to Landon Collins, who's a leader on that football team.
You want to hear what he had to
say? And he dispelled some of that.
Yeah, he said that, I feel like, that's one of those other players. I feel like we don't really got no leader in Coach McAdoo.
I feel like we really don't got no leader.
Yeah. Triple negative.
We ain't got no leader.
Here's Landon Collins. McAdoo's been leading us the same way he led us last year, so I don't knock the way he's been doing things. Fining people like crazy. If you don't follow the rules, you get in trouble because you got to pay the consequences. I wouldn't say he lost the team. I have the utmost respect for him. He's been doing a great job just trying to figure it out like we all are.
Yeah, it's interesting. McAdoo was at the helm last year, and this team got to the playoffs. So what's the difference this year? You know what's going to be expected of you. You know what he wants to run, and it hasn't worked out. So I'm sure he hasn't departed from his core philosophy in running this team this year. He's running it in the same manner as a season ago. So what is wrong with this football team? And you have a guy who's done good work in this league, and Landon Collins saying, hey, I love the guy. I like what he's doing. You have others who won't put their name on it saying he's lost his team. I don't know what the problem is, because you got different factions saying different things, and you have a team that just won one ball game. And I saw McAdoo's press conference the other day, and he was outlining all these things they needed to do. Another instance where I think you should have that on the top of your brain. You don't need to look down at a damn sheet of paper describing what we need to do moving forward. Why isn't that just right there off the, you can talk off the cuff. You don't need to read anything. I mean, because this is how serious the situation has gotten. I don't need to read from prepared remarks to discuss what my football team needs to do. Rubbed me the wrong way. Maybe it's just me. I'm sensitive to those things. If it's something as pertinent as what's happening with this football team and how we move forward, that's top of brain. I can relay that to you without having to look down at a damn sheet of paper.
I tell you what the difference is between last year and this year is the things when you're winning games, that's easy to do. It's easy to have control of a locker room when you're winning games. It's when things start to go wrong Are you good enough as a head coach to get the best out of the guys that are still there? And I know that it's ultimately up to the player, but good head coaches are the ones that are able to still inspire their team when things are looking bleak.
I understand that. My point is, my question was, what's different this year from last year? What's different? Why aren't you winning? They should have been winning it from the beginning.
Well, I mean, there's a bunch of injuries, and they lost a lot of close games, and then it just spiraled out of control. So, I mean, I think that they were better than, I mean, they're clearly better than this, and they had more talent, and they lost a bunch of close games as opposed to winning those close games. It could have changed your entire season, and then they lost a whole bunch of players. So, I mean, that to me is the difference, and I also think that even though Odell Beckham Jr. is a guy who we tend to crush all the time for his behavior, but I think he means a whole heck of a lot to that locker room. And I think that his fellow teammates look at him as like, we got that guy, we got a shot.
I agree, but they didn't win when he was in the fold.
Right, but they lost a couple close games. What I'm saying is the reason I think it's gotten to this point now, they weren't quitting before that. It looked like they quit on Sunday.
Yeah.
So it's a different looking team. They were competing for a while, and then now, like this last week, they didn't compete whatsoever. So that's where I'm talking about right now. What's going on is I think that they feel like there's no hope. And then if the players feel like there's no hope whatsoever and we're going through the motions and then the coach is making them do a bunch of stuff they don't want to do, then that is the playbook on how you lose the team.
Well, you doing a bunch of things that you don't want to do. Well, hell, he's the one that lays down the law. He's the one that comes in and sets the agenda. And it's the same agenda as last year. Now it may be ratcheted up a little bit because of the hole you have dug for yourself. Nothing has changed from his approach from last year to this year. You go along with it, and you dig a little deeper. You work a little harder. I still don't get how the approach a year ago, without all the injuries they have sustained this year, is any different from this year, and why you haven't been able to overcome.
Well, maybe there were some of these issues that happened last year. They just stayed healthier, and they played better, and that's what masked the issues. And now the fact that they're losing, these things are coming up. I mean, it's not like you had a whole bunch of players last year extolling the virtues of Ben McAdoo publicly when they were winning. I mean, it's not, you know, and I really do think that if, like, you're going through a season like this and you really like and respect your head coach, stuff like this doesn't happen.
I got you. Now, you have one guy who's a leader on that team. He's extolling the virtues of their head coach. How many other are like him? How many other are like those who are speaking under anonymity? How many are like that? And what's their role in the demise of this team?
Right. I mean, one of them could very easily, and I don't know this at all for a fact, but very easily could be Eli Apple, who is someone who he's said publicly certain things. He's played like hell this year. He's one of the guys who he just didn't want any part of making a tackle in that Rams game. So, I mean, so you think that Ben McAdoo is he's doing fine. This is all on the player.
No. I don't think he's doing fine. But my point is, how has the approach changed? I understand you have injuries, but to come out and say he's working us too hard, was he working you in the same manner a season ago? Why didn't you say he was working you too hard then? Is it solely because you were winning? So if he was working you hard then, I'm sure he's working you the same way this year. So you don't have the same results. Maybe you point to the injuries, but don't come out and tell me the guy is working us too hard. Well, hell, you're supposed to work hard. And what has changed? Did he work you hard last year? I'm sure he did. And now all of a sudden he's going to work you harder. And Saturday practices, you shouldn't do anything on a Saturday. Saturday's a walkthrough. That's all it is.
All right, so if you were a player and you're losing, you didn't like the guy to begin with, and you're getting like going through the ringer at 80% on a Saturday, you'd probably be upset too, right?
If you didn't like him from the get-go, yeah. But right. Did he do that a season ago as well? Were you going 80%? I don't believe you're going 80% on a Saturday. You do nothing on a Saturday.
Maybe he didn't. You know, maybe he didn't.
Nothing.
Maybe he changed it because they were losing and he tried to change his approach. Maybe that's what happened. I don't know.
And when you say you're going 80% on a Saturday, are you running around and you have shorts and helmets on? What do you usually don't have anything on? You have shorts, that's it. A jersey.
So you think that this guy's lying?
I don't know what to believe.
Okay.
It's hard for me to fathom that you're going 80% on a Saturday. Yes.
Okay.
I don't believe that.
Here's another quote from an anonymous player. He says, I'm going to keep it 100 and I'm going to tell it like it is.
That's redundant.
Yeah. And it's terrible, man. I feel like we really don't got a leader in Coach McAdoo. Going from Coach Coughlin, a leader who just had that presence. Like, if you were doing something wrong, like on the phone in the hallway, walking by, like Coughlin going to say something to you. Coach McAdoo, on the other hand, would see you on the phone in the hallway, walk by you, then fine you.
So he's been, they don't like the discipline that he has employed there. That's what they're saying.
They don't feel like it. Then that's a, let's assume for a second that's true and that happened. That is a real, real easy way to lose the respect of men. If you're going to walk by them and you're not going to say you're breaking a rule, you know, can stop breaking a rule, and then he goes and finds you after not saying anything to you and just saw it, that people hate that stuff.
Right.
And rightfully so.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just doesn't seem.
He's not a personable coach. I think that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Not very personable. Doesn't know how to communicate with the players. And he didn't do it a season ago, but yet you still succeeded to a certain extent. You beat the Cowboys twice, bastards. Okay, I can understand that. And I can understand now why everyone's lining up to take their shots at him. Because
yeah.
They don't like the way he goes about interacting with the guys in that locker room.
I mean, that's important.
It's very important. Even as much of a hard ass as Bill Parcells was, those guys liked Bill Parcells.
And same thing with Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
I mean, any one of those former players who played for Belichick, they'll all say great things about him. I don't think you could find more than a guy I don't even know. Even the guys who ended up getting cut and were, like, upset about that, you know, eventually go back and say great things about him. So not everybody's going to be Parcells and everybody's going to be Belichick, but, I mean, this is now. And how much do you have to disrespect your coach to go to an ESPN reporter when you know full well that this is going to be a huge story when it comes out to say all this stuff anonymously? That right there are a couple of people that are trying to get their coach fired.
Yes.
I mean, that is crossed, like, to the ultimate disrespect.
Yeah. So, I'm with you. 100. Right.
Yeah, we're going to keep it 100.
That's exactly what they're trying to do. They feel like they now have room to speak, even though anonymously, and they are trying to push him out.
Teddy Bridgewater is now officially on the Vikings roster, so the dream is beginning.
The dream is alive.
Sam Bradford is on IR, and my prediction, my little outlandish prediction that's out there, is starting to take shape, where Teddy Bridgewater becomes the starting quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings after his horrific injury that it's taken him over a year to get to a place where he can practice. And in a watered down, at times, even though it's looking a little bit better than it did a couple weeks ago, NFC, the Minnesota Vikings, with their great defense, will be led by the greatest comeback story ever. And Teddy Bridgewater takes them to the Super Bowl, which will be a home game for the Minnesota Vikings, and wins their first Super Bowl championship.
So maybe you stated this. I don't listen to you, but maybe you said this. So Case Keenum's still the starter, and they're going to bench him for Bridgewater at some point, or he goes down.
I don't know how that's going to happen.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know who you think I am here, but
you're the dream weaver.
Yeah, but I don't know how exactly it's going to happen.
Okay, but somehow Teddy Bridgewater will find an insertion point. And he will be the starter.
That's right.
There you go.
That
and then he leads them.
He will lead them to a Super Bowl. But quickly, I want to have you listen to Jalen Ramsey and what he was saying to A.J. Green that got him so upset.
I told him almost every play that he was weak. He was soft. That demonstrate facts. He just couldn't handle the truth. These facts. Told him that his time almost up. Told him that it was easy, which it was. He had one catch for 6 yards. I was just out there spitting facts to him.
I was just speaking facts to the dude, man. Come on, Jalen, really?
No, how do you not love that?
I mean, you do love it, but he's become one of the best. I said this yesterday. He's become one of the better trash talkers in the league.
He's one of the best corners in the league,
well,
too.
Two interceptions this year and two last year.
It's not all about the interceptions because the people aren't even throwing to him.
I was going to get there, G.
Well, okay, they get there.
All right, because I can tell you're already on the fan bus or the bandwagon for him. But, yes, he's coming in and he's doing exactly what was expected of him, being a high draft pick. What was he, a fifth pick in 2016? But calling A.J. Green saw and not one of the best receivers in the league. A.J. Green is still one of the best receivers in the league. There's just many other problems on that offense. So, okay, but when you hold a guy to one catch and 6 yards, you can get away with that.
Coming up next, an Andrew Bogish update, and Kirk Herbstreit's going to join us to talk some college football playoff rankings and more. Keep it right here.
Hey, guys, it's Eliza Schlesinger, and you're listening to Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
It is Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio. Kirk Herbstreit is going to join us in a couple of minutes to talk.
Finally, somebody knows something about college football
right
on the show.
I know. We've been working very, very hard to get a real analyst on the show.
Damn. About
and,
time.
And we'll be doing Herbstreit on the phones.
Way to go.
Herbstreit on the horn.
Get more calls.
Yeah. Finally get some real calls rolling in here. No, but he's gonna join us. We're gonna have a battle of who knows more about college football. Huh? You know,
that's no answer to that, dog. Come on, come on,
him.
Come on. Keep it 100. We know
Pete Bilotti.
Got that right.
Yeah, put out a poll on that. Who's who do you like better as an analyst for college football, mm-hmm. Herbstreit or Jones?
Mm-hmm.
I think to our followers, most people are gonna say
they better.
They better. Yeah, Herbstreit or Jones. We'll have that battle coming up in a couple of minutes.
If I don't win, I'm not coming to work tomorrow.
Do you have just a late saying. Night tonight?
Yep.
Oh, well, it might not be a bad thing.
Yeah, where are the Hokies playing tonight?
Yeah. Yeah, Brian's got his sleepover at Frank Beamer's house.
This thing is so warm.
Yeah, it's
yeah, and it's Vitek. Damn it. Don't call us Vitek. We'll show up and play.
Well, the other day you were like, oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. And now you're back to...
Yeah, that's because I picked him to win.
Oh, okay. All right. Bogish has an update. Hello, Bogish.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Bogish.
So just 5 NBA games last night. 3 of them, though, impacted by injury. The Warriors were just fine without Kevin Durant.
Nick Young has it. Throw ahead to Klay Thompson. Takes a dribble. Takes a three. And it's good. 79-66. So that's 13 now in the third for Klay.
And 44 for his
and
team.
And who wants their face painted?
In that third quarter, Golden State pulled away for a 125-101 decision over the T-Wolves. The highlight, of course, from Tim Roy on Warriors Radio. Durant was out with a bruised thigh. The Celtics started the night without the concussed Al Horford. Then Jason Tatum left in the second quarter with a sore right ankle. Then the Seas beat the Lakers 107-96, their 10th straight victory. Tatum will be further evaluated today. The Knicks lost in Orlando as Kristaps Porzingis sat out with a sore ankle and bruised elbow.
Fournier got it back up top. He'll launch a three left side. Viva la France,
3-pointer. That was a dagger.
French artillery right on the money there, and a magic lead by 16 with 3:18
so
left.
That's Dennis Newman on play-by-play, and I believe Richie Adubato on color doing a French accent because Evan Fournier made that shot.
Oh, come on.
So he went with the dagger.
The dagger.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... You know what? Someone's got to be offended by that, right?
No.
Guys ever Google image Fournier?
No.
Go ahead and do it.
I'll pass.
Mm-mm.
Why not? You don't want to see what Evan Fournier looks like?
I'm just going to finish you my update, Brian.
Okay, I'm going to do it.
Are you
gonna Evan
do it?
What?
No. You have to Google image Fournier. Fournier hit images.
How do you spell it?
F-O-U-R-N-I-E-R? Yeah.
See, I'm French. Images. No! No! No!
All right, I'll do it.
I'll pass.
I hate you! Get off my computer! Oh, you gross! What? You nasty!
What kind of horrible trick is that?
It happened to me yesterday.
Oh.
Someone got me with that.
Oh.
Someone got me. So we do that NBA, holy, that weekly NBA daily fantasy thing, and a guy had Evan Fournier in his lineup. He was going off against the Knicks, and he goes, Google image Fournier, see what happens. And then I did it. Yep. Pretty bad. I don't know why that comes up.
Bro!
We're not friends anymore.
I think PDB likes it. He's just staring at it. You would like that. Oh, this looks like from my homeland. Right.
Like, someone's got a worse life.
They probably do, but I didn't look at it.
Oh, that is so gross.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, I can't watch him play anymore.
Those are all of him?
Yeah. We've got Kirk Herbstreit, so we'll make a smooth transition.
No, that's CBSSports.com.
All right, very good. Kirk Herbstreit joins us.
Save
right
us,
now.
Kirk.
ESPN college football analyst and working with Coors Light as a partner with more than 40 college sports programs. And the beer for college football Saturdays launched its new loyalty app, Coors Light XP, earlier this year. Fans earn points by purchasing specially marked 12 or 15 packs using hashtag Coors Light XP rewards on their social channels, taking a responsibility pledge and playing trivia at participating local
I could use
bars.
A 15-pack right now after seeing that.
Sorry. Kirk, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. We're doing really well. What is the most interesting thing right now in your mind as you project forward with the college football rankings, the thing that you're keeping your eye on the most?
Probably what Miami and Wisconsin, sitting there both undefeated at least at this point, where they potentially project down the road. I think Miami, because of the ACC and because of the big game this weekend with Notre Dame, who's sitting there at 3, if they were to win that game and potentially end up in Charlotte in an ACC championship game against the number 4 Clemson, who would only move up if Miami keeps winning. You got to think that the winner of the Clemson-Miami game is secure if Miami keeps winning. So I think they should be okay. But I've heard people talk about Wisconsin controlling its own destiny, and I personally don't see that based on what the committee has provided us so far. Everybody's just assuming, hey, they're in the Big Ten, Power 5, they're undefeated, no-brainer, they're in. And I would say, what if Alabama runs the table? What if Notre Dame runs the table? What if Clemson runs the table? And what if Oklahoma or TCU, all these teams are ahead of Wisconsin currently, and if that ends up happening, Wisconsin could, even if they finish 13-0, could be left out of getting into the playoffs. So what I guess that's the team I'm really curious to see what happens to them, because I personally think they need some help to be able to get up in the top 4.
Oh, Kirk, what's interesting to me is your alma mater, Ohio State, because Bill Hancock, we spoke to him last week, the executive director of the college football playoff, as you well know, and he said he couldn't foresee a 2-loss team making it into the playoff. Let's say Ohio State beats Michigan State this weekend. They go ahead and they win the Big Ten. They're sitting there with 2 losses. It's hard for me to fathom a 2-loss Ohio State team not getting into a playoff. It's Ohio State. It is the Big Ten. Do you think they would be left out?
Yeah, I think they would be, unless there was just carnage up ahead of them, where crazy things happen. I think if there's a 2-loss team that still has a chance, it has to be Auburn sitting at 10 this week. They're the highest ranked of the 2-loss teams. We've been talking about this for the last few weeks. Everybody's kind of assuming Georgia and Alabama are just going to win out and play unbeaten, sitting there at 1-2 in Atlanta. And what if it's a close game? Could they both end up maybe getting in to the 4? And meanwhile, there's Auburn sitting there as a top 10 team. They're not 3-6. I mean, they're sitting there at 7-2 and actually played Clemson early in the year, very close in Death Valley, and probably are kicking themselves about the way they lost against LSU. So they're a pretty talented team, and they get both Georgia this weekend at home, and then the Iron Bowl 2 weeks later against Alabama at home. And you guys know how tough it is to go to Jordan-Hare. So I would say if there's a 2-loss team that has a shot to kind of navigate their way up, if they keep winning, that's a big if. Mm-hmm. But if they keep winning, I think it would be Auburn of any potential 2-loss team. Again, in my opinion, Ohio State has the image of 55-24, I think, would be sticking, I'm sure, in the committee's mind. They didn't just stumble at Iowa City. They got blown out and embarrassed. And I think that those are the kind of things that sit on the minds of the committee, again, based on what they've told us in three previous years.
Gio and Jones across the country on CBS Sports Radio with Kirk Herbstreit, who is joining us on behalf of Coors Light. And fans 21 and over can search Coors Light or Coors Light XP on the app or Google Play Store to download the app right now, start earning points, and get money can't buy experiences. Speaking of Ohio State, that Michigan State spread is something that a lot of people are talking about, now up to 15.5. Do you believe that Michigan State should be getting more respect from odds makers in this particular matchup?
Well, we can act like players don't care about that, coaches don't care about that. But oh, this is like, I almost feel like Mark D'Antonio called the people in Vegas and said, "Hey, can you make us a 20-point underdog?" Perfect. You know, I mean, it plays right into the hand. This is what Michigan State is. Nobody even knows their name of their head coach. You know, one time he was on ESPN and they mispronounced his name. He loves that. He goes into the locker room then and he talks about how nobody cares about you guys. Nobody thinks you're any good. No, they don't even think we should show up in Columbus. We shouldn't even play this game. Should we even travel down there to play this game? And he's recruited. You know, everybody recruits differently. He recruits collectively a bunch of 2- and 3-star guys that are angry at the world. They feel the big schools missed on them. They overlooked them. They got a big chip on their shoulder. He's got, I think, at least 15 guys from Ohio. Ohio State didn't offer. So he's got a team that's now, they were 3-9 last year. They now control their own destiny to get to Indianapolis in a Big Ten championship. And really the only thing in their way is the game against Ohio State. And here comes Ohio State thinking about, we're going to go to the playoff this year. We just beat Penn State. They get humiliated by Iowa, and now, for all intents and purposes, they're out of the playoff race. What does Urban Meyer do to push the buttons to still try to get his team to get excited about winning a Big Ten championship? Can he do that? That's the mystery, and I think even Urban Meyer himself, until this game starts, if Ohio State shows up and they still are interested and they're still focused, then they're going to win the game by 20 points. If they're not, if they're feeling sorry for themselves, the season's lost, we're out of the playoff race, then they're going to lose. There's no in-between. They either win big or they lose this weekend against Michigan State.
Yeah, no rat poison there in East Lansing like it is in Tuscaloosa. Now, speaking of Alabama, Mississippi State outscored 80-13 versus Georgia and Auburn. How do you think they fare versus Alabama, who has a lot of attrition in that linebacker room?
Yeah, Brian, that's the thing with Bama is, in talking to Jeremy Pruitt earlier this week, I mean, you don't ever need to feel sorry for Alabama, the way they recruit, but I don't know if I've ever seen a group impacted in such a negative way than Alabama with that linebacking core and such a big part of what they do, because Alabama, more than anybody else, they rotate so many different groups based on your personnel grouping offensively, based on the down and distance. They'll be out there with 4 linebackers. They'll be out there with 2 linebackers. They'll be out there with 1 linebacker and 6 defensive backs. And some of those guys that are really a part of some of those exotic coverages are out. And so it's not just, oh, plug and play, bring in the next 5-star. It's understanding schemes and understanding what they're trying to do. And I think that's a big hit. I don't think Mississippi State is balanced enough. I think Nick Fitzgerald, their quarterback, it's really about him and running the football and doing what Dan Mullen typically does with QBs. They have not typically done real well against the teams like Kirby Smart and Nick Saban. So I think they're, this case, Bama's offense isn't clicking. So I wouldn't be shocked if it's in Starkville, if it's one of those, I don't know, 27-17 kind of games. I think it's a low scoring game that I think Bama, I don't think they'll ever be in doubt, but I don't expect them to blow Mississippi State out at all.
Gio and Jones with Kirk Herbstreit joining us on behalf of Coors Light on CBS Sports Radio. Are you in the camp that you don't believe that Jake Fromm is going to be able to win a game if he needs to with that quarterback position, throwing the football, if they're trailing and there's a critical 3rd-and-13? Or do you believe that, you know, he will, he just hasn't been able, that opportunity hasn't presented itself?
I am questioning it because we haven't seen it. I'm not doubting him. I just haven't seen it. Georgia, with that running game, they have been able to throw the football on their terms. You know, they'll run the ball, get the safeties and the linebackers so determined to stop that running game that they kind of lose their discipline, and then they'll play action and the guy's wide open and they'll make a throw. And the guy's a true freshman, and it's a great scheme. I'm not knocking it. It's effective and it works. I've always been saying, what happens if they ever go up against a team that can physically match up at the line of scrimmage and stop that running game and get Georgia to 3rd and 5 or 3rd and 7 throughout the game consistently? Can Fromm and those receivers then make plays? And I think this is the weekend we're going to learn if Georgia is worthy of that number one ranking, because I think Kevin Steele, their defensive coordinator from Auburn, he's going to come up with a plan that's very, very physical and very gap sound, and I think they want to try to put the game in the lap of Jake Fromm and those receivers and see if they can deliver the goods and get out of there. This is kind of that. It's a rivalry game. Georgia hasn't been in this kind of environment where they're really going to be tested as far as the crowd noise, communication. I just think they have a real opportunity to be able to say, told you we're the best team in the country, or maybe not. You know, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, they didn't score an offensive touchdown last year in that victory in Athens. Before we let you go, let me ask you about Miami, Notre Dame. You guys are going to be down there this weekend. I really like this running game of Notre Dame, but even more so their defense. I don't think they're getting enough credit how well they're playing on that side of the ball. How do you see this one shaking out?
Yeah, that's a great point about the Miami defense, and we all know from going back to when we played, Brian, I mean, that was really what they were known for. You think about the attitude and the way they played and how fast they played. They intimidated most people before the game even started, and they're trying to get back to that. I've called so many Miami games over the years, and I would tell you that when the media and fans would say, Miami's back, are they back? Are they back? It was always referencing a certain attitude of back in the late 80s, early 90s. And I think the program didn't have a backbone, and they tried so hard to, quote-unquote, be back, that it was more about the swag and not about what really made Miami, Miami. What made Miami, Miami is, in that era of greatness, was those guys loved playing football. The swag came as part of it, and that's what everybody remembers. But if you really dig deep, they had a great group of people for years and years that just loved playing with each other and loved competing. And that's why they were so great. And I think Mark Richt, who lived that as a player, he was around that generation. He's going back, and he's not even thinking about swag. He's thinking about bringing back attitude about guys that love the game. Now, they got the turnover chain that's getting a lot of attention and all that, and people are kind of maybe looking at that as, uh-oh, here comes Miami, the swag and all that. But I've been around these guys. These guys are throwbacks. These guys, it's refreshing to see a team that's very hungry to want to win and very hungry to play for each other. So, and here comes Notre Dame. They've been running the football for over 300 yards and dominating people. So this is kind of going to be a fun one to see, especially at the line of scrimmage, if Notre Dame and Josh Adams can run the ball against that Miami defense that's been playing outstanding.
Tell us more about what you're doing with Coors Light.
Well, you hit it. You pretty much covered it all. You mentioned that Coors Light has partnered with more than 40 college programs, which has been great to see. And the new rewards app for fans, Coors Light XP, which started earlier this year back in August. And the thing that we want everybody to know is that Coors Light is rewarding fans that are 21 years and older within the app. They can earn a lot of one-of-a-kind experiences, a chance to come down to Atlanta and hang out with me at the big game. And all they have to do is search Coors Light or Coors Light XP in the App Store, download it, and if you use my special code KirkFootball by the end of Friday, you'll earn an extra 100 points. So a great program, and like I said, it's just great to have Coors Light involved in college sports.
Kirk, thanks for the time this morning, and we all like you better as a college football analyst than Brian here, so just want to let you know that we voted for you, man.
No, Brian's my man.
Thanks, Kirk.
He's not ours. It's nice you said that, but have a great day. All right, Kirk, see you later.
All right, guys.
Sure. Thanks, man.
There he goes. A real live college football analyst on the show.
One that's professional.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. What do we have? We put up that poll on Gio and Jones. Mike, you got an update on that? Who do you like better as a college football analyst?
It's close, but 51% for Kirk.
Wow, really? I'll take that.
You'll take losing on your own Twitter account?
I'll take that. Sweet. Hey, keeping it real, dog.
When keeping it real goes wrong.
Yeah, that's going right.
You think it's going right? 49%
That's cool.
For you?
I'll take 49%.
No, you should. It angers me.
Why does it anger you?
Because this is our own Twitter account at Gio and Jones. So? Go there and vote, by the way, at Gio and Jones.
I asked them to lie. I said, please lie. Maybe they're lying. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. Listen, Gio and Jones listeners, get out there and vote here for Brian. This is a travesty, what's going on here.
It's not Gio and Herb.
Yeah, right.
It might be.
Gio and Herbie. Okay. Well, we will go into the break on a little bit of sadness here that you're not leading that poll. But we'll come back and talk to you why Twitter screwed up.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Sign up to be an Overboards member today and start earning instantly. Overboards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. It's fast, easy, and free, and only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Good news for you, Brian.
What?
Hey, Lars. What's up,
what's
man?
Up, dog?
Long time, no talk.
Yeah, been a minute. Way to pop in. Wait, first of all, how about Herb Street knowing what the hell he was pitching? How about that?
Yeah, I know, for the first time ever on this show. Usually it's like, well, we got a couple things available.
Was it Terrell Davis? Yeah. No, the guy had to jump on the phone?
Yeah. He's like, TD, let me get the phone here.
And the Kimbe. Let's see. What is it? Mobile or yeah, right. Texaco or yeah. Exxon?
One of those things. Yeah, I know. Good for Herb Street. I kind of stumbled through to read in the beginning, so that's why I gave him an opportunity at the end to do it himself. And sometimes these guys, he gave us 15 minutes, which was nice.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, they like the fact that they say it themselves as opposed to me.
Yeah.
So that's why I had him, and he knew it. And I also, mm-hmm. is something about me asking him to talk about it and then the person not knowing what they're pitching.
Yeah.
But anyway, the good news is the listeners, the call to action worked with our Twitter followers.
Mm-hmm.
You have now taken a commanding lead.
Commanding.
56%.
Yeah! That's what I'm talking about.
56%. Say Brian
Gio
Jones.
Gio and Jones strong.
Who do you like better as a... Don't say that, because that means something like tragic happens. You know, they always use the strong after something really bad happened and people rise up through the tragedy.
Gio and Jones, yeah!
Yeah. We'll go with that. Who do you like better as a college football analyst right now? It's Brian Jones at 56%.
That's what I'm talking about.
So if you disagree with that, you can go and vote.
Don't give him that.
But if you agree with it, go and vote at Gio and Jones on Twitter.
Right.
Speaking of Twitter.
The Twitter.
I can't believe
they're doing this.
They made a huge mistake.
Yes.
By doubling the amount of characters that you can use. Now,
why?
I'm already trying to phase a lot of Twitter out of my life. There's times in this biz where it's necessary, and I'll do that to promote things, whatever. But I just can't stand it. And now it's becoming Facebook, where just people are using, they got more things to say that I don't care about.
Mm-hmm.
And then also people are doing this dumb stuff, like they'll just go, yeah, with a bunch of H's to fill out the character thing, and then it clogs up your timeline. They think it's funny, and they're not funny.
Mm.
Or LOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLO
I'm with you.
Man.
I need to phase it out, too.
It's true.
Sick of it. Done.
I'm tired of it. You know what? It's not even.
But go vote.
It's not even Twitter's fault. It's people.
It's their fault. 280? Come on. Yeah, give these knuckleheads more characters to work with.
Well, that's my point. Is that
come on.
Just, there's too many knuckleheads.
Gosh.
Too much of this.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Twitter.
So I will not tweet anything. I don't even know if I got the 280 yet. Did I get the 280 yet?
How do you know you have the 280?
When you try to compose a tweet at the bottom, the number will be there.
I thought everyone had it, no?
No, not yet. They're rolling it out slowly. Everyone will have it eventually. But I don't have it on either the Gio and Jones account or my personal account.
Oh, okay.
So do you have it? Were you lucky enough to have it?
I don't know.
Man, I don't know. I don't know how to do nothing up on this social media.
I don't know how to do anything on the socials.
Man, I don't know how to do that. Let me send no pictures.
So if I try to write something, it will say... You have what? You just told me I wasn't listening. Okay.
You got one of those phone screens, too, where nobody can see?
Yeah, anything? Privacy screens, and I can't see anything now. How do you know if you have...
Yours is different than mine.
I have it.
We're figuring out whether or not I have 104. How do you know?
You got it.
I got it!
It doesn't say 140.
Oh, I got it! Yeah. We're special.
Yep.
I think I got it too.
Oh, you got it? Yeah, I don't have it.
I don't want it.
Don't have it.
Whose baby is this on my Twitter?
Hopefully
that is not
yours.
My baby.
Yours.
I don't know why they sent. Why would y'all send me that? That ain't my baby. How'd that get on there?
Who's this baby up on this Twitter?
Yeah, that is not my baby. That doesn't look like me.
By the way, Pete recorded us coming back from break without the music, so this is what it's going to sound like on the podcast. So, by the way, America, that's what you sound like when you're singing in your car.
Exactly. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That crescendo there at the end.
No, that was both of us going at the same time. Usually it's one or the other. We teamed up for a duet there.
That may be our best one yet.
It really might be.
Sound great on the podcast.
Oh, there was the other one that was pretty good too, though, with the that one, the Rebel Just for Kicks, yeah. You know that one?
Mm.
Rebel Just for Kicks, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think this was the best.
Those two were probably the top two.
Okay.
That's like the Herb Street and Brian Jones of the
I'm still mad at you, though.
Oh, because of Fournier?
Yes! You're nasty!
I told you it happened to me, so I repaid. I paid it forward.
Why couldn't you just keep it with you?
Because it got an unbelievable reaction. So.
Oh, that was gross.
If you haven't...
I'll never eat an omelet again.
If you missed it... If you,
I look like a meat lover's omelet.
If you Google image
quiche
Fournier,
don't do it.
For whatever reason,
you're gonna hate Gio. Don't do
some
it.
Some weird stuff comes up.
Don't do it, folks.
So like someone wanted to see what Evan Fournier looked like one day, and woofa!
Don't do it.
Thanks to Herb Street, Mikey B, Petey Meats, Bogus, and Jock Alone. Talk to you tomorrow, Gio and Jones, CBS One Radio.